As I'm getting older, some of you guys know that I just had a 50th birthday. Yes, I'm half century old, over the hills and down the hills I'm heading down. As I'm getting older, I experience frequent memory losses. For example, I go to the kitchen, as I said before, I stand there and look around and I cannot remember what I'm there for or like what I'm supposed to say now. I forgot. It's one thing to be forgetful what we're supposed to say, what we're supposed to do. But it's a completely different thing for us to forget who God is and what He has done for us. No sooner God hand them out the heavenly bread, the manna, to these 2 million people, right after He rescued them from the hot pursuit of the Egyptian army at the Red Sea, these people came to the point, again, they complain about God, His provision. Because they thought that God's going to literally kill them in thirst. So they complain and complain. How quickly we forget what God is doing for us and He's done for us. How quickly we end up in the despair and imagine the worst. It's my earnest prayer for all of us, prayer and the desire that all of us remember who God is and what He has done for us previously. That whenever we face the difficult time, remember to rely on Him, remember to depend on Him, instead of depending on our own strengths. Would you turn your Bible with me to Exodus chapter 17, verse 1. Exodus, if you're not familiar with the Bible, that would be the second book in the Old Testament, way on the left, and you find the Genesis. You went to the index, you went too far, and then in Genesis, and then will be Exodus, chapter 17, verse 1, and we will pray. Heavenly Father, as I said, it is our desire and our prayer that we remember Your faithfulness and Your mercy and love for us every time, all the time. So whenever we face a difficulty, we remember that You are faithful and we can rely on You. We can depend on You. And we are asking You to open our heart to receive Your guidance, Your truth. And we also pray for the troops around the world. We're asking You to keep them safe and bring them back safe and sound. And we also lift up those families who lost their loved ones in Iraq and in Afghanistan. Comfort them, give them peace that pass all men's understanding in the midst of difficult time. We also pray for the law enforcement personnel and the firefighters around this community. Your hand be upon them and keep them safe. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 17 in Exodus. Then all the congregation of children of Israel set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped in Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people contended with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Lord? The people thirst therefore water." And the people complained against Moses and said, "Why is it you have brought us out of Egypt and to kill us and our children, our livestock, with thirst?" We have noticed that the Israelites did exactly what God told them to do at this point. They went there and set out a journey from the wilderness of Sin to Rephidim. They did exactly what God said. However, there is no water. Does it mean that we can be in the perfect will of God and still go through a difficult time? Yes. Why does God do that kind of thing? Because He wants to teach us, He wants to train us, He wants us to grow in Him. Here again, God wants them to learn to trust Him instead of relying on their own strength. After all, it is God's responsibility to take care of them. As He is responsible to meet your need, meet my need according to his riches and glory. Folks, our daily needs are met by God. And you may say, well, I have a very good job. You got a very good job because of God, not because of your capability. Because without God, you cannot even be there. So think about it. Everything, every good and perfect gift comes from heaven above, as James said. When we have a problem, it's much easier to blame on somebody. Isn't it easy for us to point a finger at somebody else? But a lot of times, the problem lies on us. When we have a problem, we should come to God for a solution instead of becoming the problem itself. How can we not be a problem? Depends on Him. Trust Him to take care of it. God is faithful. Let's continue in verse 4. So Moses cried out to the Lord and saying, what shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me. That's not the smoking dope, okay? That's not the same kind. And the Lord said to Moses, go on there before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel. Also take in your hand your rod, note that word, your rod, with which you struck the river, and go, behold, I will stand before you there on the rock, on the line rock, please, in Horeb. And you shall strike the rock, water will come out of it, and the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elder of Israel. So he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah. Because of the contention of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? About this time, Moses had with his people, he's about to throw the towel and say, let somebody else take over his job. Can you imagine the amount of water God had to provide for these 2 million people? Would you put the math sheet, please? Thank you. Let's very conservatively say, oops, now I'm blind. I cannot see anything. Each people use about 2 gallons of water per day in the wilderness. That's an extremely low amount. But let's say just for the sake of a convenience, 2 gallons. Times 2 million people, that means 4 million gallons per day. Are you with me so far? You didn't know you were going to do the math at the church. Well, here it is. 1 gallon of water is 8.33 pounds. So you times 4 million gallon times 8.33 pound comes to 33,320,000 gallons per day. That's the amount of water God had to provide if people use 2 gallons a day. But in my opinion, probably they use about 6 gallons to 8 gallons per person per day. So just stick with me. If you convert that, the pound, to the metric ton, that is about 15,000 tons. If you use the 15,000 tons a day for 7 days, it comes to over 105,000 tons. Do you know what the weight of that is? Next slide, please. This one, Nimitz aircraft carrier, is less than 100,000 tons. So within a week, these 2 million people drink more than the weight of this super carrier. This is the God we're dealing with. This is the kind of God, the generous and God we're serving. Can you rely on Him? Can I rely on Him? Yes. Is there any limit? Is there any portion that God said, I just ran out of water? He doesn't say that kind of thing. And some people wonder, you know, Bible critics always say, how did he come up with water in the wilderness out of rock? What kinds of chemicals did he use? Well, if God wants, God can create water out of nothing. The method doesn't mean anything. Whether we believe God or not, that is the most important thing. Moses still had to lead these 2 million complainers. And you have one at home, you think about that's bad. How about the 2 million people whining at you all the time, day and night? That's bad. Even though he was in a difficult situation, he was the leader God called him to lead. So he had to stand up and not shrink back and to lead the people. The rod, I asked you to underline the rod. This is the same rod that God used, actually, through Moses, turned the rod into the serpent in front of the Pharaoh in the court of the Egypt. And also he used that same rod to point to the Red Sea, and he divided the Red Sea. And this is the rod. God is telling him to pick it up and come with me. Why did he use that? Because he knew what Moses is like, and he knows what we are like. We are lacking in confidence. So there's a little thing that he can physically touch. Pick up the rod and follow God and know that God used this rod to bring the miracles to the people. So there's another thing. However, remember this. Moses did not have a confidence in the rod itself nor himself. Do you know whom he had confidence in? God. Folks, there's not a method you can rely on. There's not a thing you can rely on. There's no formula you can rely on other than God. Your future cannot be gone with a formula or stock market. Hey, joke, what a joke. Stock market goes up and down whenever the Federal Reserve Chairman sneezes. So you cannot rely on that thing, but you can rely on God. What does this rock mean in verse 6? What does it represent? It's Jesus Christ. It does not, Holy Spirit does not leave this for us to assume or come up with our own interpretation or the speculation. So he is giving us an exact interpretation from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 through 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In case you don't know where the 1 Corinthians is, in the New Testament, right after Romans, before 2 Corinthians. Chapter 10, verse 1. You there yet? Okay. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud. All passed through the sea. All were baptized into the Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And the rock was what? Jesus Christ. All right. Remember last week we studied about the manna that came from heaven, heavenly bread. The manna is representing Jesus Christ, the bread of life. And now we have this water and the rock. The rock is representing Jesus Christ. What does the water represent from the water that comes from the rock? Of course, that represents Holy Spirit. Also, same time, we can remember that what Jesus called himself as living water. Let's go to Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Matthew, it would be the first book on the New Testament, Matthew 16, 18. Matthew 16, 18. And I also say to you that you are Peter. Note the word Peter, and you might want to write a little, if you are the kinds of people who write on the Bible, write Pedro, P-E-T-R-O, Pedro. And on the rock, and I will build my church, and the gate of hell will not prevail. And the note, write another word on this rock. Write Petra, P-E-T-R-A, Petra. What's the difference? Some Catholic people, no offense to Catholic people, their doctrine says God built the church on this rock that is Peter. Because Peter means rock, but not small-sized rock, about hands, fist-sized rock. That's the Petros. Okay? So when God, Jesus said, you are Peter, you are a little rock, but on this gigantic boulder, Petra, I will build my church. Who would that be, this gigantic boulder? Himself, not Peter. Can you imagine building a church who is the guy who is wishy-washy, denied Jesus? I wouldn't build a church on him. No, I wouldn't build a church on myself because I'm not trustworthy. No, none of you are trustworthy. And you're thinking, you just insult me. Sorry. You're a human being like me. You're not trustworthy. But God is. Jesus Christ is. He is a solid rock. He's an immovable rock. And he's building the church on himself. Let's go to Psalm 61, please. Psalm is located right before Proverbs, right after the book of Job in the Old Testament. Psalm 61, verse 2. Psalm 61, verse 2. From the end of the earth, I will cry to you when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to what? The rock. To Jesus. That is higher than I. Although this is a marvelous picture of Jesus Christ, but folks, let's face it. Here is the rock. And here is Moses holding with that rod and standing in front of this 2 million people, and he's supposed to hit the rock. Can you imagine? What if the water didn't come out from the rock? And hit once. He'd try again a couple more times. And the elders and all 2 million people would say, so that's your method to give us water. He would look very funny. He would look stupid. Moses had to have a faith in God himself before he lead other people. Dad, mom, before you lead your children to Christ, you got to have a faith in God. Otherwise, you cannot lead them. You are important in their faith in Christ Jesus. You have to make a good example. Otherwise, your children will not follow. And some of you, your young people in the school, if you are trying to tell other people, other students, that you have to, those people have to follow God, then you have to make an example. Otherwise, they will not follow. They will see. You are the living epistle. That means you are the living letter, the word, the Bible. They will not pick up the Bible and read and study the word of God, but they will watch your action. God is faithful to provide them the abundance of fresh water out of the rock. This was a great miracle, God's provision, and at the same time, his rebuke against their unbelieving heart. Millions of people around the world are dying of thirst, spiritual thirst, that is. Channels are blocked by the man-made religion and log-jammed by intellectual doubt and corroded by personal sins. Insulated by the indifference. Many people who profess to know that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior, or they even say that, I believe in God. Let's hold right there. Does the devil believe in God? Does the devil go to heaven? No. So believing that there is God, believing that God is existing, believing that God is almighty doesn't mean anything, does it? What's the difference? Is God, Jesus Christ, is your Savior or not. Many people who profess to be the Christian in America, and they don't, in reality, they really don't know about God. And they're standing in this water gushing out from the rock that Jesus Christ, but they are dying of thirst. Why? Because they are not taking the first step to receive Jesus Christ into their heart. If you are that person, I will give you an opportunity at the end of this service. Don't take another step unless you get to know him first. Let's continue. Verse 7 of Exodus. Back to Exodus chapter 17. Now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, "Choose us some men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand." So Joshua did Moses, as Moses said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Christian life can be battle and blessing same time. It depends on the situation. Up to this point, Israel did not have to fight. God fought for them against the Egyptians. However, this time God says, "You are going to fight." God said, "I'm going to fight through you." They need to learn how to fight. Amalek are the descendant of the Esau. Who is the Esau? The brother, older brother of Jacob. The Israel clan came out of Jacob. And Amalekite always represent the flesh, our fleshly desires in the scripture. Note that Amalekite did not appear until the water was given to the Israeli people. Listen carefully, please. Until Holy Spirit come into our heart, devil does not attack us. Why? Because we were his. Until we come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the devil didn't bother us because we used to belong to them. Now we belong to Jesus Christ, he attacks us. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. When the Holy Spirit come and dwell in us, and then the fleshly desires within us begin to oppose him. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. Galatians is located right before the Ephesians, right after the 2 Corinthians. For the flesh lusts against the spirit. Note the word, please. Flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. What do? When we're supposed to read the Bible, we watch stupid TV. When we're supposed to pray, we do something else. Because our flesh does not want us to get to the Word of God and pray and have a communion with Him. The method of attack used by Amalek is downright dirty and inhumane. How do I know? Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 25. Deuteronomy is located in the Old Testament as the fifth book from the beginning. Chapter 25, verse 17. Remember what Amalek did to you on the way as you were coming out of Egypt. How he met you on the way and attacked your rear rank, all the stragglers at your rear, when you were tired and weary, and he did not fear God. In other words, he attacked the old people who was injured, sickly people, and little children. Instead of fighting like a man, I guess, he attacked the weakly people. Folks, that's what our fleshes do. If you let it, it will come after you at the weakest point, weakest link, literally. Satan does that. Satan has a cohort, partner in crime. Do you know who that is? Us. Our fleshly desire within ourselves. He knows which push, which, not, not push, but, let's try again. Which button to push? So think carefully. Don't let him have their way. Back to the Exodus 17. Verse 11, please. So it was when Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became weary, and so they took a stone and put it under him. He sat on it, and Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side, the other on the other side. His hands were steady until the going down of the sun, and Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. How did Israel overcome the enemies? They had an intercessor on the mountaintop. They had a commander in the valley. Folks, listen. Have you ever heard the word mountaintop experience and the valley experience? So for those who don't know the mountaintop experience, if you feel that you are so walking so close with God and you feel like everything is going well, that is known as mountaintop experience. And the valley experience would be that everything goes haywire. And you thought the incoming, there is no end of this tunnel, but you just saw the light, and you're glad there's the end of the tunnel, and just to find out that's an incoming train. That kind of situation. Things goes from bad to worse. You cannot fight in the valley unless you start to fight from the mountaintop with a prayer. If you're not getting the prayer, when you get into the valley, you will have a terrible time. That's why I strongly urge you, practically demand you to study the Word every day and have a daily devotion, have a prayer. Because when you come to the difficult time, you are not prepared if you don't do a daily devotion. It's extremely important for us to pray and intercede for God's kingdom. But it's also important to be led by the Spirit of God to the actual work that goes in hands and gloves. Hands and gloves. Now, Moses alone could not fight, do the battle of prayer. So he had to have help from the other people, Aaron and Hur. Prayer is something, sometimes it can be sweet and easy. A lot of times it's difficult. It can be agonizing. That means we have to literally pray through that time. Praying for somebody who is dying, that's not easy. And praying for the difficult time is not easy. But we have to pray through that time. It's important for God's people to obey in gaining victory over flesh by faith, and to put the death and the deed of the flesh. Moses alone on the top of the hills could not win the battle. Joshua alone on the bottom of the valley could not win the battle. Praying and doing work had to go in hands and together. And how wonderful for us to know that we have an interceding Son of God in heaven, an indwelling Holy Spirit in us, and who is for us, plus inspired Word of God in our hearts. This is an amazing passage and shows the importance of prayer. Of course, the history itself tells us, and we have to depend on prayer. Folks, we can pretty much conclude that many times the people of God defeated today because they don't pray. And their work is not supported by prayer. They may do work without prayer. They may do the things without God's guidance. It is no wonder why they are defeated. As I said before, you cannot fight the battle in the valley unless you start the battle on the mountaintop with a prayer. While you're having a good time with God, you need to pray. I need to pray. Let's continue in verse 14. And Moses said to Lord said to Moses, not the other way around, write this on for a memorial in the book and recount in it in the hearing of Joshua. And I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Malak from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called its name, The Lord is my banner. And for he said, because the Lord has sworn, and the Lord will have a war with Amalek from the generation to generation. Even though Moses knew that his prayer is important, he wasn't foolish enough to think that he won the battle with Amalek one time for all. Folks, just because you won the battle against your own flesh and my own flesh, that doesn't mean it's end of battle. That flesh comes back for opportune time. Time after time after time. Remember, think this. Remember, Jesus was tempted in the wilderness for how many days? 40 days, right? Satan himself tried to tempt Jesus. When he couldn't do it, he left. In the book of Matthew, it says, until the opportune time. That means he was coming back at Jesus again. Folks, Satan is relentless. He doesn't give up. He's not the kind of guy who will say, okay, I tried it, it didn't work, so I'm giving up. He doesn't do that. He comes after you. As long as we have this flesh, this body, this fleshly mind, until we get to heaven, we'll be tempted. And the flesh within us fight against the spirit in us. So, don't think that because you had won the battle, that doesn't mean it's over. Jehovah Nissi, N-I-S-S-I, that means in the Hebrew word, the Lord is my banner. That means he's the captain of our fight. Let's make three applications. Number one, we often don't come to the Lord for the solution, but we become the solution at problem itself. Let's come to the Lord with a complete dependence. If we do that, we don't become the problem. Wouldn't you rather receive a solution from God than become a problem? Second application. Many times the people of God are defeated today because they will not pray, or their work is not supported by prayer. That's why when our mission team goes down to Mexico, first thing we do is pray before we even start here. Before they go, we pray. While they're heading down, a lot of times that's a Saturday, so that's the time I study. And while they're traveling, I pray. If we try to do the work without prayer, that's practically we'll fall apart. Let's pray without ceasing and walk as the Spirit leads. Third application. Battle against our own flesh is constant and it will not be over until we pass from this life to the eternal life in heaven. Let's not let our spirit, our spiritual God down. We have a couple of military people here. They know what it means to let the guard down after they win the battle. Victory. Just because you win victory, that doesn't mean you can just go out, open up your food, and enjoy the time. Right after victory, that usually comes in biggest defeat. If we don't put our guards up constantly, let's stand up and pray.